Welcome to the Study On podcast. I'm your host, Angie Bauman, and I am passionate about Bible study. Friend, my journey has not been an easy one. I am a trauma and abuse survivor, and I still walk with a limp. But I also walk in freedom, because as I've studied God's word, He has released me from layers of shame and invited me into a life filled with an abundance of His peace, joy, rest, and hope. I'm transformed because I study the Bible, and my heart's desire is to create offerings that help you get and stay in your Bible so you experience that transformation too. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me. Maybe it's as you enjoy your coffee or with pen and notebook ready, or you're driving to work or walking the dog from wherever you are in your day. Let's dive deep into a verse of scripture together. So we walk steady on. Let's get started. Welcome, friend. We are in week one of the season of Lent, if you happen to be listening when this episode drops. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be examining areas that I believe are the essentials of a Christian walk. Those five areas are prayer, study, worship, fellowship, and service. And today we're using my step-by-step Bible study method to look into 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and we'll be discussing the importance of prayer. Step-by-step is an inductive Bible study tool that focuses on one word in one verse of scripture to find life application. And if you'd like to study along with us today, you will find links to a study sheet and the step-by-step masterclass in today's show notes. Susie Crosby is back in the house with us today, and I'm so grateful you're here, Susie. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Angie.
1 Thessalonians 5:17 in the NIV says this, pray continually. I think that might be the shortest verse we've ever done on this.
I think so. It looked like I didn't even write it on here. It's so small.
Pray continually. That's it in the NIV. So a little bit of information about the book of 1 Thessalonians. It is the first of two letters from Paul to the church in Thessalonica. And in this letter, Paul urges the new Gentile believers to live godly lives. Chapter 5, where we are focusing in today, has 28 verses, and it is a chapter about being ready for the day of the Lord. And we are going to hang out in the section talking about their personal worship, getting ready for the day of the Lord in regards to their personal worship. And so one more time, what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, just kind of real quick, set us up just a little bit because the verse is so short. And again, all three of these verses are about being ready for the day of the Lord in regard to personal worship. And so it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I just thought about how big all of those instructions, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. These are big asks. These are big asks.
They are.
Yeah. But we're going to focus about prayer. We're going to focus in on pray continually. And step one in the Bible study method is to choose our word. And you have a 50-50 guess here. And so go ahead, Susie.
Well, the word is for today, continually. And the definition is repeated frequently in the same way. Also could be without interruption, constantly, always, and consistently. The opposite of continually is infrequently, rarely, seldom, occasionally, and then this one kind of made me laugh, sporadically.
Yeah. Well, and how often would we say that we're praying more rarely than constantly, or this is not one of the words, but I'm randomly almost where we pray randomly instead of, did you say randomly?
Oh, that's but sporadically,
sporadically, randomly.
Think of randomly.
Random. And so it's interesting to be okay, what Paul is calling us to an attitude of constant prayer. One of the definitions that I put said in repeated succession, right? So it's just I think about a song that when I was Well, when I was younger, and I still do it sometimes, I'll say, but when I was younger, I often would find a song that I was just in love with, and I would just put that thing on repeat forever, right? Yeah. Like, I just played it over and over and over again, because whatever it was was speaking to me, and I'm thinking that's what God is like. He's like, just put it on repeat, honey. Just put it on repeat. Yeah. Step two in the method is investigate. We divide that up into four parts. Part one is to compare our word in other translations. There were a bunch of these. In the King James, it said, without ceasing, pray without ceasing. In the Amplified, pray unceasing and persistent, perseveringly, constantly, regularly. The CEV said, never stop. The GNT, at all times. One more, always keep on. So always keep on praying. So those are the ones that I found. Part two is to research the original word. And help us out with that.
All right. It is the Greek number 89, adialeptos. Adialeptos.
Yeah, that's a long one.
Yeah. The biblical definition of that is, in Strong's, is uninterruptedly, without omission, without ceasing. And then I had, I looked in Thayer's Greek lexicon, and it said, without intermission, incessantly, and without ceasing. So some of those same words, but without intermission is kind of funny. Without taking a break.
Yeah. Without taking a break. Like at a, we go to a lot of basketball, you know, like there's no halftime. You don't need a halftime to rest. Yeah. You don't need to rest from prayer.
Right.
And it makes me think, if we don't need a break, if we don't need a halftime from prayer, we don't need to rest from prayer, then it must not be something that is supposed to take a lot of effort out of us or something like it, you know, like it,
right.
Because if we're straining or pushing or running or striving, we'll get tired. But if it's really something we can do continually and always, that seems to suggest to me, it's not something that makes us tired. Right.
Right.
Like, yeah. On the contrary, it should be something that is this perpetual source of life and energy or something. Otherwise you have to take a break from everything.
Right. We don't need a break from praying. I hadn't really thought about it that way.
Yeah, I hadn't either until just this one. Without omission, I thought that was interesting too. You said that in yours, and I looked up omission. I know what it means, but I looked it up anyway, because it means something deleted or left out. And so if you're praying without omission, that in a little different take on it, it also means talk to him about everything.
Yeah.
That's how you pray all the time, because everything that happens to you, you're like taking to the Lord, you're discussing with him. You're like, did you see that? Did you do, you know, what, like, it's just with you all the time. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we leaving out of our day or our life, that we could be talking to God about and receiving from him what he wants to give to us in a way that actually, that's the come to me in Matthew 11, come to me and I will give you rest. I think that come to me is actually that connection with him and that pouring in that he wants to do through us, to in us, that comes from connection to him. And so while pray continually, sometimes I think makes us take a step back and be like, oh, who can do that? He's like, oh no, that's how you can do everything else.
Oh, wow, Ange. that's significant right there.
Yeah. Part three in the investigate step is to read some commentary. I found this in the Enduring Word that I liked. We can't bow our heads, close our eyes, and fold our hands without ceasing. But those are the customs of prayer, not prayer itself. I like that. Like, those are the customs of prayer, not prayer. Prayer is communication with God, and we can live each minute of the day in a constant flowing conversation with God. A constant flowing conversation with God. It goes on to say, there is significant, important value in a time where we shut out all other distractions and focus on God in a time of closet prayer. It's from Matthew 6:6. But there is also room and great value in every moment of the day, fellowship with God. When I was studying the book of Nehemiah several years ago, that's a book that really taught me the value of both kinds of prayer. Nehemiah is someone that he will go and like fast for days in the story. You know, he like goes and fasts and connects and does these like customs of prayer, if you will. But then he also, there are times when he's threatened, and it says immediately he lifts something up to the Lord. And I'm like, and I think sometimes the more that we practice, not just the customs of prayer, but that like stilling, that closet prayer, that pulling ourselves away, the quicker we will be to have that constant prayer under threat, whatever that threat happens to be, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The enduring word goes on to say, there are many valuable implications from this command. The use of the voice is not essential, an essential element in prayer. The posture of prayer is not of primary importance. The place of prayer is not of great importance. The particular time of prayer is not important. And a Christian should never be in a place where she cannot pray.
Wow.
I know. I thought that was really good too. I thought that was really good because sometimes we think prayer looks a certain way, sounds a certain way. And this commentator is really saying, no, it doesn't need to look like anything except for just conversation with the Lord. The Bible Knowledge Commentary said, continual prayer is not prayer that prevails without any interruption, but prayer that continues wherever possible, whenever possible. I'm sorry, I'll get it right. The adverb for continually was used in Greek of a hacking cough. I know. Paul was speaking of maintaining continuous fellowship with God as much as possible in the midst of daily living in which concentration is frequently broken. Mm-hmm. And I think about that where sometimes you're like, all of a sudden you just, if you're like recovering from a cold or something and a coughing fit hits you or something, you know, and it just, you can't stop it or whatever. And I'm like, it's so crazy to think of prayer like that. But I'm like, I kind of get it where you're like, it just sort of, instead of letting the interruptions of our day be in charge, interrupt our interruptions with this continual prayer, right? Like, but make them stop by praying or make the anxiety of them coming at you stop by praying. So, one more commentary note. It's from the New Bible Commentary, a series of brief staccato commands indicates the basis for Christian living. They are quite general and would apply to any group of believers. And that's that rejoice, pray continually that we were talking about at the beginning. Christians must also pray in all circumstances. This does not mean that one prays uninterruptedly, but that one prays regularly and frequently. It's an attitude of prayer, right? It's an attitude of prayer. Yeah. What do we need to do so that prayer is the first thing we go to when we're confronted with whatever it is that we're confronted with? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a couple of cross references I wanted to share before we move on. In Luke 18:1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I liked that. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And I liked that because it says pray with all kinds of prayers and requests.
I like that too.
Yeah. Whatever's on our heart, he wants to hear. That's what I take that to say today. Whatever's on our heart, whatever's going on in our life, he wants to hear. He wants to talk to us about it. Oh. Imagine having a friendship with someone who never gets tired of what you have to say. You can talk forever and they're not tired of it. So I think that's good. Part 4 is to try to rewrite the verse in our own words. This is a little bit of a challenge because there's not a whole lot to work with here. But the verse again is pray continually. And how did you put that in the Susie Crosby translation?
I put it in the Finding Nemo translation. I just said, just keep praying. Just keep praying.
I love that so much. I love that. That is hilarious. I love it. I love it. Just keep praying. Step 3 in the method is to find the characteristics of God. I put that he is ever present. The reason I can pray continually is because God is available continuously, right? Mm-hmm. So I never have to knock and wonder if he'll answer, you know, I never have to wonder if he's too busy or talking to someone else and doesn't have time, right? It's just not like that with God. Yeah. So, and I also just simply put that he is good. He always wants to hear from me and he always wants to speak to me. And that just feels good. Like I was saying, he's never like, sweetheart, you have exhausted your number of words today, right? Like it's just never like that with him. He's like, as long as you want to keep talking, I want to keep listening. And that just feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
I do too. Step 4 in the method is to identify the lie of the enemy where we want to call out the obstacle to this. What stuck out to you as maybe a half-truth that we're tempted to believe around this instruction?
Oh boy, I put down that prayer is something you can check off a list.
Oh, yes.
Like, I already had my quiet time this morning, or I already prayed about that, or check, check, check. That's not how it works.
I'm still learning that there's so much of the commands that the Lord, I'm still learning that the Lord puts in scripture that we want to turn and say that he needs us to do this for him, when actually he instructs us to do this for us. Right. Like, I'm thinking about Sabbath. I'm thinking about this one that, you know, it's not because he needs us to do it. We honor him by being obedient, but he tells us to do it because it's what's best for us. And I get that mixed up and I forget that sometimes. He tells me to pray continually because that's how I come to him for rest. That's how I abide in him. That it's one way, right? That's what strengthens me. That's what connects me to his grace. That's how his mercies are new every morning. Like, that's why he wants me to do it, because he has stuff for me that he wants to give me that he can't give me if I'm not connected to him, right? I mean, he's God,
right.
He can do anything, but that's how I receive it. I can't receive it. I say it that way. I can't receive it if I'm not connected to him. And so I appreciate you saying that. They're like, check off a list. Now God's happy with me. Well, God, he's happy with us, but he's like, oh, but there's so much more that's going to happen to you today, and you're going to need stuff from me. And if you don't come to me, you won't be able to get it.
Yes.
Yeah. So good. Any more from your lives? I went off on a tangent on that one.
No, that was just, I mean, I already prayed about that is what I wrote. I already prayed about this, that, or I had my prayer time this morning.
Yeah.
Check it off.
Check it off. Yeah. Step five is so what, where we take note of a key takeaway. And I put this for my takeaway from this verse in this moment, this time, right? I put, how am I continually moving towards more and more consistent communication through prayer? I think it's good for me to like just sort of take self inventory of that sometime. How is my prayer life deepening? Is it more frequent? Is it more instinctual or natural? Yeah. And just to kind of take note of that. Is that a place in your life where your relationship with God is growing? How about you?
Well, I have two takeaways. One of them, I think I might ask you to put the link in the show notes,
for sure,
because I came upon this article on a website called discoveringprayer.com, and it was called 7 Ways to Learn to Pray Without Ceasing. And the author of the article lived for a period of time in a community of nuns, and she learned a lot about prayer during that time. And she said that they were encouraging her to live the whole of her life prayerfully, and they used the word recollection a lot, and they use that to describe abiding in God's presence, just being with him, like you were talking about, just coming to him without worrying about what exactly to say or what time you're doing it or where you are or all those kinds of details, just abiding in his presence throughout the day. And she said, I mean, doing things like chopping a salad or completing a task or writing something or talking to someone, just to be fully present in that moment would be being fully present to God.
Yeah.
And allowing and just focusing, kind of like we say now, you know, as we're trying to like calm ourselves to be in the moment or to like center ourselves. But there's something to that if you're doing it with your mind on God, just to be focusing on what's he doing in this moment, or what's he offering in this moment, or what do I need with him from him in this moment, and just be more intentional about that. So recollection, focus, because I feel like I'm doing like 3-4 things at a time all the time, and my brain is only partly there and different, you know, paying attention to different things, and just really working on that focus or that centering. Recollection was interesting to me. And that can even mean like remembering what God has done in the past in situations like this, or thinking about the future, but really focusing truly on the present.
Yeah.
So that article was really interesting. There's a lot more. There was actually seven ways, but that was,
I will link that in the show notes.
Okay, I'll have that.
Yeah. When you were talking about that, it made me think too about like honoring him and being connected to him at like if you're with someone and being present mm-hmm. in that, because that someone is someone that he loves so much, and just right. being in touch with like how much he loves them and how he's invited you yes. to help them know how much he loves them. I don't know. I was just getting this idea that as we're talking to him about our lives, so he will reveal to us and guide us as we pray to him, as we focus on him, maybe what someone else needs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Susie, thanks for sharing yeah. that. Yeah.
The other thing that really has helped me for many, many years, I was in a prayer group and someone spoke a word to us before we started praying one time about that a pastor from the, I think the 1500s named Ole Hallisby had said about prayer, and it has stuck with me ever since. It's actually changed my prayer life. And he said, Ole Hallisby said prayer, I'm summarizing here, but one of the things that he said in a sermon was that prayer is nothing more than inviting Jesus in and giving him access to our needs. So I have learned from that and remember that just to sometimes say, Jesus, Jesus, you know, I'm walking through an airport. I get a stressful phone call. I'm at work and something's hard, or I'm about to talk to someone that's, you know, going to be a difficult conversation. Jesus, if I don't even know what to say,
yeah,
just I invite you in. I invite you into this. And that it can be that simple. And yet I've opened that connection or that back and forth so that whatever I need from him is going to come my way. And my eyes are going to be open to what he wants to do. And it has changed my prayer life to realize that I don't have to come up with the perfect request.
Yeah.
Or go off and kneel down in some private place. I can just say, Jesus, I invite you into this. Will you come with me? Will you be here?
That's so amazing. And when you think about the lie and speaking truth against the lie, sometimes we don't know maybe specifically what the truth is or what the promise is, but we know it does. What we're feeling isn't God, and there's such power in the name of Jesus, and that's all. So in the name of Jesus, I mm-hmm. state something else, right? Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just lift up his name, and then it focuses us on him. Mm-hmm. That's so great. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for letting us understand or learn a little bit more about your personal habits too. That's really, we appreciate it. So, well, we would love to hear your takeaway, friend. You can email me anytime at steadyonpodcast@gmail.com. If you have not yet, well, first of all, thank you for those of you who are subscribers to the podcast. I love that. Thank you very much. If you haven't yet, if that's not who you are, I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast on whatever directory you use to listen. And if someone came to mind today as you were listening, we would love it if you would share the episode with them. Inviting them into what we're doing is another great way to support the show. Thank you again for joining me, Susie. I always learn so much when we do these. I learn a lot from you, and I appreciate your wisdom and your willingness to share it.
Thank you. I feel the same.
And thank you, friend, for listening. We pray wherever your day takes you, you are walking in the confident knowledge that you are a beloved, cherished child of God. Peace.